I like, forgive me, I have a bit of a cold. I like to dedicate my remarks. It is the yard site of the Rebbetzin, of Elizabeth Rav, Besti Tites, Bastia Basa Rabba was the mayor, who also happens to have been my mother-in-law. And I wanted to dedicate the words to her memory. In order to appreciate what it means for the Jewish people to return to the land of Israel and have our own country, our own government, after a lapse of 2,000 years, one has to go back a little bit, not that far back, a little bit back, to the period of time preceding the founding of the state. The Second World War, the Holocaust, the destruction of one-third of the entire Jewish people, 6 million Jews, but not merely numbers, but the great centers of religious Jewish life. The yeshivos, the Hasidic dynasties, all that was centered in Europe at that time. The American Jewish community was important, but was still struggling to find its proper religious identity. Here in Elizabeth, under the guidance of Rav Teitz Zatzal, we had JEC, but JEC at that point was an elementary school of 6 grades, not even be able to go through 8th grade. And it was considered quite unusual for a community outside of the city of New York to have a Jewish day school at all. So one has some sense that the level of religious life in this country was not what one would like it to be or what exists now. The war ended. Victory for the Allies. But then the awareness of the destruction became widespread. The survivors of the war had no place to go. Those who went back to Poland found their homes taken over by others, and actually a number of them were killed in pogroms. They couldn't go back. The British wouldn't let them go to what was then Palestine. America had restrictive immigration laws. Many of them stayed in what was called DP camps for 2-3 years after the war. The Jewish people as a whole were terribly discouraged. There were those who survived who thought, there's no purpose in being Jewish anymore. Over the years, various significant figures in American life discovered that they were actually Jewish because their parents or grandparents decided after the war, why should anybody want to be Jewish? Why should anybody be subject to such anti-Semitism, to such hatred, such destruction? I'm going to protect my children. I'll deny that I'm Jewish. And they'll be able to move on in life and have a normal, accepted life. That's the background. The establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 was a transformative event. It reestablished pride amongst Jews throughout the world that they were Jewish. Though it's totally unfair, because there was no way that the Jews could fight the military might of the German army without weapons, isolated, with almost no outside support, many Jews felt shame. We went, I don't even like to repeat it, like sheep to the slaughter. Where were we? What could we do? So even before I get to what happened in the land of Israel, the very existence of the State of Israel had enormous impact in every other country, including the United States. One can simply look at statistics and find out how many yeshiva day schools were founded in this country in 1948 and 1949. Jews were no longer embarrassed to be Jewish. They no longer felt they had to assimilate to survive in a hostile world. By the way, and it's not the time to talk about that as well, the next big spurt, an extension to high schools, came in 1967, after the Six-Day War, which once again raised the feeling amongst Jews, we can be ourselves. We don't have to go to the secular schools of the country. We can have our own schools. We can have our own identity. We can learn our Torah and not be embarrassed. It's hard to imagine the world beforehand when I was a kid. So I'm from Borough Park, which wasn't yet Hasidic, but was an Orthodox neighborhood. But when I would leave, and in Borough Park, we wore kippot, we wore yarmulkes in the street. But when we left the neighborhood, we were told, you want to recognize an Orthodox Jew? He's walking with a baseball cap. Because that was safe. You know, wear a baseball cap, you cover your head, but you ought to wear a baseball cap, you know. Doesn't prove that you're necessarily an Orthodox Jew, though I'm not sure we fooled everybody, because who would walk on the street with a yarmulke? I said, in Borough Park you could do it. Williamsburg, a few neighborhoods. In general, it couldn't be done. If this is so obvious, so why do we find such difficulty, such conflict about how to deal with the State of Israel? And that's because we like most people, we like things that are black and white. Yetzias Mitzrayim is Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't talk about those Jews that were left behind. Chazal say they were extremely large number. Jewish people, out of Mitzrayim, out of slavery, to Geulah. The fact that the process was a bit complex, that the first generation died out in the Midbar, and didn't go straight to Eretz Yisrael. Various chatoim that took place during that time as the Jews struggled, you know, we don't talk about that. You know, we try to focus on it. It's very clear cut. And of course, our wish, after being in Galus for 2,000 years, is Geula. We want to be redeemed. We don't want someone to be redeemed. We don't want to have our own state. And yet, we can't even celebrate its founding on the right day, because we know that there are many Jews will be Mechal Shabbos. So we have to change the date, because Jews in Israel, many are secular, and we don't, if we make it Friday, they'll extend to Friday night in Chas V'Shalom, Mechal Shabbos. It's messy. Now, it's not clear cut. It's not what we like to see. But what I'm suggesting to you is that we accept the fact, one, that life is messy, and that Hakaras HaTov, which is such a fundamental Jewish concept, gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appreciation to whoever has done for us, be the dominant theme, even if the state hasn't fulfilled all the dreams that we had. Because, as I said, it's been a transformative event. At the time of the founding of the State of Israel, there were 600,000 Jews. A quarter of them were survivors. And when Israel had to fight to establish itself and for survival against seven Arab nations, a significant portion of its soldiers were survivors of the Holocaust. You can imagine what they were going through. And in the first 5 years of the state, Israel took in more Jewish immigrants than there were people in the state. Imagine, you know, the discussion about immigration policy in the United States. Someone would say, okay, America should take in 300 million immigrants. Everyone would say, crazy. Israel took in more immigrants than it had people. And since that time, in an incredible fulfillment of Kibbutz Goliot, Jews have come from all over the world, communities that people didn't even know existed, such as the Ethiopian Jews. There were a rumor that there were Jews in Ethiopia. No one even knew they existed. The Jews from communist Russia, where they had over half a century to wipe out any remnant of Jewish life, of any commitment to anything Jewish, and over 1 million Jews came from Russia to settle in Israel. In the entire Sephardic world, the Middle Eastern world, North Africa, and I was brought up in a very Ashkenazic Jewish world, we knew there were Sephardic Jews, you know. I don't mean people daven Nusach Sephard. I mean, there were Sephardic Jews. There was even a little Yemenite shul in Borough Park. In fact, I know some of the people came from the Yemenite shul who went to Yeshiva Torah Semes and went to school in Yiddish, which wasn't obviously part of their tradition because they didn't count. They weren't part of anything. They were just an oddity. You know, they were such people. Israel has more Sephardic Jews than has Ashkenazic Jews. They've come from all these countries, from all around the world. They've been protected from all kinds of anti-Semitic attacks. They've reestablished themselves. If we look at it from that perspective, it is absolutely miraculous that somehow a society, a country, could have emerged from people from such diverse backgrounds, very different cultures, very different notions of what it means to be a Jew, They were religious, they were secular. They were religious in very different ways. They had totally different mentalities. And every Jew is welcome. That in itself is most extraordinary. Let me talk about Torah. Do you know how many Jews are sitting and learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael today? I don't know if we can find actual historical records of so many Jews sitting and learning Torah in Jewish history. We don't really know how many people learning the time of Chazal, so I said we don't have records. The numbers of yeshivot, the number of people learning in Kolim, it's mind-boggling, with all the conflicts. And I'm not here to talk politics, I'm to talk about facts. As I mentioned before, it affected all the learning Torah in America. And by the way, the two are very strongly connected. I can't know for sure what any one of you is going to do, but there's certainly a very reasonable chance that large numbers of you, when you graduate high school, will automatically go to learn in Israel. It's part of yeshiva education in America that you learn Torah in Israel. Right? It's a given. But things should never be givens. The givens because someone made them happen. What it means to have our own country, to function in a very hostile and difficult world with all its complications and with all the frustrations and with a vision that is incomplete. We want like it used to be in the old novels and the old movies. Happy endings. Everything works out in the end. Life is complex. We haven't reached the Geula yet. But that doesn't mean we don't have an obligation to be grateful, to celebrate that which has changed our existence so much. That which is preserved, enhanced, and transformed Jewish life. It is very interesting, Hochberg mentioned it, and somewhat unusual, because other countries don't do it, that precede Yom HaAtzmaut with Yom HaZikaron. In America has a Memorial Day. Then has July 4th. Memorial Day is one time of the year. You celebrate American independence one time and you mourn the soldiers a different time. But it's very particularly Jewish to combine both. Purim has a Tainus Esther. We just don't celebrate the victory of Purim, being saved, without remembering how vulnerable we were the day before, how threatened we were. Even Pesach has a tainus b'chorim, as much as we don't really know its origins, and essentially no one fasts anymore because you got to see him. It's also a wonderful thing. And it's connected. It's not 3 weeks before. Right? Because in Jewish life, we know things came with a price. And we know, since I mentioned the incredible notion of gratitude, how important it is, so we have special gratitude for those who gave their lives and didn't live to celebrate. And therefore, in Israel, they don't just start celebrating we have a state. They first mourn every single person who gave up his or her life so they could have a state. And remember, boys not much older than you, and they go into the army. We have one son and his family living in Israel. Our oldest grandson is now learning in yeshiva, but he's in a Hesda program when his time will come. And our second grandson, the other day, got his Tzav Rishon. He's in 11th grade. What's Tzav Rishon? He had to take a physical, take some tests. He get a ranking of whether he has physically belongs on the battlefield or has to go into some other things. He's finishing his 11th grade in high school. All right? When those of you finishing 11th grade are not waiting for the American Army, which no longer drafts people, to call you in, you know, and give you a physical, and to start thinking what's going to come up. It takes people who every day will have to give and risk their lives to maintain this state. So that's also part of the going from a Yom HaZikaron to Yom HaAtzmaut. One thing that makes it complicated is because we want to celebrate in a proper religious fashion. Because we understand that all the things that happen ultimately come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, we have to acknowledge that at this point, the majority of Jews in Israel, as well as a much larger majority of Jews in America, are not fully Shomer Mitzvahs. And not all of them appreciate the religious role. And we want to have a celebration that's, you know, they say Shavla Kol Nefesh, apply to everybody, but it can't because we think in different terms. And that also makes it more complicated. Right? We'd like, you know, and I say halal, and some people don't say halal, and some people do say halal, and some say with a bracha, and some say without a bracha, some say a whole halal, and some say a half halal. It's too confusing. But that's the reality. As we try to come to terms to appreciate what it means that we have our own state, and at the same time we want to appreciate that we want to go much further, that it's not the ultimate goal, and how do we express that? And not everybody agrees. That's the way it is. Not everybody agrees. But you're in yeshiva high school, the yeshiva has its policies, the yeshiva has its way of expressing it. Just ask of you, and I'm not one, those of you who know me well, the dramatic stories, and there certainly are endless dramatic and miraculous stories that one could tell. I'm not a person of stories. Just a person to hopefully appreciates what has happened. Now, I was a little boy when the state was founded. But at least I have recollection that there was a time we didn't have our own state, and a time that we do. And there was a time that the state boundaries was like this, and then there was a war in 1967, and suddenly we had full Yerushalayim, the Makam HaMikdash, more or less, and all this extra Eretz Yisrael. But for you, this is all given, right? You were born, the state of Israel's ancient history, a couple of generations back. The Six-Day War also was ancient history. It's at least a generation back. Your parents were kids. And when things are that way, we tend to take them for granted. Because that which is somehow always was. Now, it's very hard to have historical consciousness. Achbam spoke about Pesach and the goal in the Seder to somehow recreate historical consciousness. Now, to understand, the Yetzias Mitzrayim relates to the fact that we were suffering in Mitzrayim before him. It's not an easy thing to recreate, even though we talk about it. So I tried to focus in the remarks that I gave on gaining some sense of what was before and what has happened after. How our appreciation for having our own state can only be understood properly if we could imagine Chas v'Shalom what would have been if we didn't have one. And I'm not one on what ifs, because what ifs are inevitably speculation. But I have a sense what was. What was a discouraged people questioning the viability of Jewish life, loss of 6 million people, loss of all the great Torah centers. When I was a Talmud in Yeshiva, all our Rabbeim were from Europe. They were Gedolei Olam, but we couldn't even talk to them, and they wouldn't talk to us about what they experienced. The worlds were so far apart. There was almost, you know, they could teach us Torah, but they couldn't really communicate what Torah life was in Europe, what they faced. We didn't fully understand it. But we now, Baruch Hashem, and we have to express that in our celebration. And thanks also to those who made the state, who've maintained the state, who've transformed Jewish life in a manner that hasn't happened for thousands of years. And many, maybe most of you are going to stay in America and you have a good life here. But think about it. Every Jew should think about, where is the future of the Jewish people? Where is our destiny? Where is our real place? Our makom is in the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu. That Rashi talks about in the first Rashi in Chumash. That's a real place. At least one day you think about it. Enjoy in a positive sense, appreciate that we have this opportunity, that we have this state, and that we have responsibility as well to take what we have and move it to the next level. Not that I don't can give you a formula of what each one of you is supposed to do. But as young, committed religious Jews have a great deal to offer to a world searching for identity, you all have something to contribute. So let's express our gratitude and joy and celebrate and think a little bit about what it means for us to have a state, and what it means for us to be engulfed and not have one. And think of what role and responsibilities we have in the future. Thank you.
Okay, boys, please listen carefully. Just a reminder of this morning's schedule. We'll be going